Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and I'm going to be doing this solo today because my scheduled guest unfortunately couldn't make it and had to bow out at the last minute. So you're stuck with me today. Now, there's actually not all that much coming this week in terms of scheduled events, meetings, trips, and the like, unlike some recent weeks. But there is quite a lot going on anyway. One thing that is coming up is the U.S. deadline for Russia to come into compliance with the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, the INF, which is February 2nd. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in December, early December, that the U.S. would begin the process of withdrawal from the INF if Russia failed to come into compliance within 60 days. And that 60 days is up on Saturday, February 2nd. Now, coming into compliance essentially means getting rid of a missile called the 9M729, also known in the West or in NATO as the SSC-8. A U.S. official said there have been some talks between Russia and the U.S. Over the past couple weeks. There were talks in Geneva, and there've been Moscow held a kind of a conference or press conference to make its claims or amplify its claims about the missile, that claiming that the missile does not violate the INF. But there's been absolutely no resolution, no progress toward agreement. The U.S. saying there's really only one path forward, a senior official said, which is for Moscow to verifiably destroy all these missiles, launchers, and associated equipment. So, that it seems very clear that is not going to happen, certainly not by Saturday. So it looks like we're going to have, sort of another mounting disagreement between the United States and Russia. The NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, said, Russia will still have half a year after February 2nd to come back into compliance, but that after that, quote, the treaty will cease to exist. So, it looks like that is what's going to happen. Russia's made clear that it does not accept the U.S. claim and that it's not going to get rid of this missile. I think one thing that may be in the cards is kind of a movement towards some sort of broader agreement. One of the reasons that President Donald Trump said that the U.S. is going to pull out of this treaty was that, in addition to the Russian violation, was that other countries, notably China, which have nuclear weapons, are not bound by the treaty. So they can produce, develop as many of these medium-range missiles as they want. And Russia certainly should be worried about that in terms of China. So and Trump said several weeks ago, I guess, that he predicted that at some point he and Chinese President Xi and Putin will be in talks to end what he called an arms race. So I think there's some talk that there could be negotiations or talks on a broader agreement that would pull more countries into a future treaty to limit these medium range missiles. But for now, it just looks like this is going to be another kind of item on the agenda of disputes between Washington and Moscow. And of course, Europe is kind of caught in the middle because this is where the Soviet Union and the United States destroyed many thousands of medium-range missiles after the treaty was signed in 1987. So Europe is concerned about this, and we'll see what happens going forward, and whether there are any more talks and any more developments in the near future. Now, another thing to watch this week is certainly Venezuela. In terms of world affairs, obviously, but also in ties between the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. and Russia are supporting, obviously, two opposing leaders or would-be leaders, with Moscow backing President Nicolás Maduro and the U.S. backing the self-proclaimed interim president Juan Guaido, who is challenging Maduro's leadership. And several European countries are saying that Maduro needs to announce new elections, free and fair elections, within 8 days or so, or they'll recognize Guaido as Venezuela's leader. So they will join ranks with the U.S. on that. Meanwhile, Guaido is calling for more protests, like in the streets, this coming Wednesday, and also for protests actually worldwide on Saturday. So this is clearly going to continue to spike tensions between the U.S. and Russia. Now, one thing that's been in the news that's quite interesting lately is Reuters had a report this past week citing sources and one named source and some unnamed sources as saying that Russia has sent military contractors, possibly members of this Wagner group, to Venezuela, at least in part to essentially guard Maduro and protect him. Now that's there's been a lot of talk about this report. Some elements have seen some sort of corroboration. Interesting thing last night, actually, on a weekly TV news show, Putin's spokesman Dmitry Peskov, was asked about this by the host Vladimir Solovyov, and most of the stories that came out of this said that Peskov denied the report, denied that Russia has sent what one person in the Reuters report said were 400 military contractors to Venezuela. But in fact, if you listen to what Peskov said, what he was asked and what he said, it's not a denial. He suggests that 400 is an exaggerated number. By using like a proverb saying fear has big eyes. And then he's asked, well, do you officially confirm this? Confirm that Russia has sent 400 of these fighters. And he says, of course not. So he's really not denying anything concrete. He's simply saying, he's suggesting the numbers are exaggerated and he's saying we will not confirm this. So that was an interesting development. I think it seems, Russia has these Wagner fighters and from other groups in various parts of the world. It would seem to make sense that they would go there. Usually the foreign ministry and the Kremlin simply say, and the defense ministry say, it's not our matter. These aren't people working for the state. This is widely disputed because Wagner, for one thing, is said to be headed by Prigozhin, the guy known as Putin's chef. There's obviously some links there. So, that's just one aspect of the showdown, or I guess the side confrontation between the U.S. and Russia that's brewing in Venezuela. Now, another thing. The Russia-Japan talks, Putin and Abe talks on the Kuril Islands, or the disputed four islands in the Kuriles, is in some ways thing for last week. There are no talks planned for this week. But I did notice something interesting in that same show with Vladimir Solovyov and Peskov. It seemed there's been a lot of talk about, will Russia hand over two islands? Because both Putin and Abe have been saying in the past few months, we're going to try to speed up a deal or talks toward a deal based on a 1956 agreement between the Soviet Union and Japan, which called for the two southernmost islands to be handed over to Japan as part of a peace treaty. So one big question is really is Russia prepared under any circumstances to hand over territory? public opinion polls suggest that most Russians are against that. And analysts are saying, well, if Russia really does want a deal, a peace treaty, it will have to explain to its to its citizens why it's a good idea to cede these islands or why it's prepared to do that. Now, this interview with Peskov, it was quite coded, but it seemed clear to me that Peskov was avoiding. He certainly did not rule out that Russia would hand over two islands, at some point in the future. He talked about, Solovyov was kind of playing the devil's advocate, saying, the people are against this. Peskov said several things. He said, we need to sign a peace treaty with a very important partner in the region. He said, we're interested in investment and things like that. So it seemed like Peskov was was sort of deliberately avoiding saying, no, we're not going to hand over these two islands. And I think for Japan, a deal with, and there's questions about sort of in what order this would happen, a peace treaty, the handover declaration that they'd be handed over. But I think, a peace treaty without at least the firm promise of those two islands at least would be a non-starter for Japan. So I think we're still going to hear more about this, whether it's going to kind of continue right now at a fast pace or not. But I think we're going to hear more about this and kind of hopefully find out at some point whether Russia is really, aiming to sign a peace treaty, even if it means handing over these two islands. Analysts have said if it wants to do that, the Kremlin wants to do that, they have to explain that to the Russian people. And I think, this looked like, Peskov's comments looked like something along those lines, maybe a trial balloon type of thing. But I think there's going to be a lot more of this to come. So, we'll see what happens in the future. I guess that's enough of my yakking for today. So that's all for today. I'll be back next Monday. And meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward. Thank you.